Good morning. I'm Elsbeth Fritz, and I have been lucky enough to grow up here in the UU Church. But as a young adult, drifted away, busy schedule, didn't find it important to make time to come. And then I became a mom. And when my son was born, I wanted to find a place that would be able to help him grow and mature. And I was grateful to have the UUCM here to help him be a part of his village and a caring community that I knew would support him when he found his own truths. When I'm asked about our church, I am always excited to talk about how we are a place that welcomes everybody, that anybody can come in and feel welcome here. I also am very proud of the fact that we are very social-minded, social justice-minded. So many community people in this community are always volunteering their times, their resources, and are well-informed about anything that's going on in our community and not afraid to speak up about it, any kind of injustices that are out there here locally in the United States and sometimes worldwide. I love the fact that we're environmentally conscious. The solar panels on the roof are amazing. And I'm just proud to be able to give my time and my resources to this wonderful community. And I hope that you guys will also consider pledging and maybe even upping your pledge a little bit to help make sure that we can continue all of these things that are so important to all of us and these missions, and we can continue to foster a positive environment in our community. Thank you very much.
I'm John Taylor.
Hi, I'm Susan Taylor.
Susan. When Katie Frederick asked if we would give our reflection, my first thought was, if I were a vampire, nobody would ask me for a reflection. My second thought was, it's not that kind of reflection. Okay. I've been a member of this church since 1998, not long after Susan brought me here when we first started dating. And I had been a Methodist and then had tried some various churches along the way. But I walked away from Christianity as a senior in high school. And, you know, there's something about being asked to believe in something, not in the absence of evidence, which I can do, but in the presence of evidence to the contrary. So I guess I'm probably not going to aspire to that Republican Senate seat that I've been thinking about. I just couldn't hold those two ideas at the same time. And I chose to believe what my senses revealed to me rather than the wisdom of the ages. And I haven't changed much. So as an atheist and a proud atheist, I consider myself a person of faith. You can't be an atheist and be absent of faith. But I believe that this physical, chemical reality is all there is, and that there is no intervention from a higher power or a paradise waiting after we die. So this is it for me. So I want to make the most of it. At the same time, I believe that we have enormous capacity for love and human connection, and that I believe that we evolved in small groups and communities, and we require those personal connections to thrive. And quite literally, we need each other. So it's a part of our basic nature and part of what it means to be human. So this community does a good job of recognizing our basic humanity, starting there and then allowing space for each of us to grow in our own direction. And we don't have to pretend to be who we are not in this place. So we just have to respect each other. This in a church was new to me, and I was intrigued and decided to come back with Susan, and here we are 22 years later. This community has supported us as individuals and as a family. I feel connected to so many of you, And there are times when I get so busy, or we get busy, and feels like it would be great to take a Sunday off, to take the morning and do nothing. But usually on those days, when we do come to church, and I'm speaking for both of us, but we feel very glad that we came. And those are the days I feel like we most need to be here.
So yes, I was the one that discovered this wonderful church and lured John here. As we got to know each other, we were getting to know the church too. That we fell in love and got married here is due in no small part to the loving, open-minded character of this church and the people that come here. When we had children, our feelings for the church became even stronger, intrigued as we were at the thought of raising children in this religion that invites you to learn and ponder and decide on your own what you believe, so different from my Catholic upbringing with its strict set of beliefs. We joined committees, eventually settling into our preferred means of donating our time, having found the areas we felt we could contribute the most, while also receiving the benefit of forging stronger ties to other UUs. The strong connections our kids, Riley and Sophia, have made with other youth through their Boston-bound trips, the coming-of-age program, and the OWL sessions were so very important to their development and thereby supported us as parents. We knew we were lucky to have found this community. We knew we weren't raising these children on our own. That I feel our kids are well-rounded, kind individuals who know how to relate and appreciate a wide diversity of other people and who know they are loved and cared for by the UU community, well, John and I just couldn't have done that on our own. We're so very grateful for the support we've received and glad to be a part of this church community that truly fills our lives in so many ways. Thank you.
Good morning. My spouse, Marky, and I moved to Muncie in the summer of 1996 for me to start teaching at Ball State University. In the spring of 97, on Palm Sunday to be exact, we decided to go and check out the Unitarian Universalist Church, and I'll actually point out that I was the one who initiated it and said that we should do this. And we are still here, almost 23 years later. This church has been a very important place for us, and maybe particularly for me, someone who had been unchurched her whole life. Here we have found friends with whom we've grown very close. We have found a church community wider than our circle of close friends that we've learned from and gotten help from when we have needed it. And this church has also helped us to find our place within the wider Muncie and Delaware County community. So why am I, the formerly unchurched, standing up here in the pulpit delivering what some witty person has dubbed the Sermon on the Mount? I'm not sure. The stewardship committee asked me, and I said yes. Let that be a lesson for all of us. When the stewardship committee asks us, we should say yes. So the topic of my homily is generosity and community. I want to talk about how generosity is a requirement for building communities of all sizes. I suppose that generosity could exist without community. One could be an isolated hermit living apart from others and still make generous financial donation to causes. But I would argue that we can't have community without generosity. Generosity is what builds and expands community. Let's start with a definition of generosity. According to the University of Notre Dame's Science of Generosity Project, generosity is, quote, the virtue of giving good things to others freely and abundantly. Those things can be money, possessions, time, attention, aid, encouragement, emotional availability, and more. Here are some of the ways that Marky and I have benefited from generosity in our communities. First, our friends are wonderful people who support us emotionally and help us with projects. How many times has Lisa Kurosak come over to help me split wood, including at 2 o'clock this very afternoon? Anybody can join us if you'd like. Along the same lines, how many times have Amy Shaw, Brandon Mundell, Lisa Cox, Billy Lavergetta, and various others come over to help me brew beer, stir the brew pot and bottle the product? How could I not reciprocate by sharing my homebrew with friends, often in my living room in front of a warm wood stove, and occasionally at church fundraisers? Second, back in 2009, Marky fractured several vertebrae in her neck in a hiking accident, and for several weeks was walking with a walker and unable to eat anything other than semi-liquid or soft foods. I was worried about leaving her alone while I was at work. So many individuals recruited by the caring committee of this church helped us out that spring, coming in to stay with Marky while I was gone. It is not an exaggeration to say that we could not have gotten through that time without the generosity of our church community. And third, much of what makes Muncie a livable community comes from donations of time and money from its residents, including many in this room. From the Cardinal Greenway to the White River cleanups, from the Muncie Civic Theater to musical programs of all kinds, much of the quality of life here grows out of people's generosity. Marge Piercy, in her poem, The Low Road, writes, "It starts when you care to act. It starts when you say we and know who you mean, and each day you mean one more. For our generosity to be transformative, we all need to say we, and each day that we needs to mean one more, and one more the next day. Most people are hesitant to be very generous to them, the others, however you define the people who aren't us. But if we can, quote, give good things to others, freely and abundantly, we can transform them, the other, into we, one of us. That is one way that we build and expand community. It is also true that being in community strengthens generosity. Data from studies show that people who are more socially connected are more generous. A white paper on generosity written at the University of California at Berkeley summarizes existing research. Quote, people are more generous when they feel more connected to others. For example, one study found that when people were primed with words that evoked relatedness, for example, community, together, relationship, they later showed a greater interest in volunteering and donated significantly more to charity than did participants who were primed with neutral words. And the paper continues, quote, social networks and community integration appear to be especially important for encouraging volunteering. Social connectedness, as measured by the number of different professional and social group meetings that a person attended, significantly predicted the number of hours that person spent volunteering, as well as the consistency of their volunteering and charitable donations. In their book, The Paradox of Generosity, sociologists Christian Smith and Hillary Davidson demonstrate that generosity, in the long run, creates gain rather than loss for the generous. They write, by spending ourselves for others' well-being, we enhance our own standing. In letting go of some of what we own, we better secure our own lives. By giving ourselves away, we ourselves move toward flourishing. And that is the paradox of generosity. They find 9 different ways that generosity enhances well-being. 1, generosity fosters and reinforces positive emotions and reduces negative emotions in givers. 2, generosity triggers chemical systems in the brain and body that increase pleasure, reduce stress, and suppress pain. Generosity increases personal agency and self-efficacy. 4, generosity creates positive, meaningful social roles and personal self-identities for generous givers to live out. 5, generosity tends to reduce maladaptive self-absorption. 6, Practicing generosity requires and reinforces the perception of living in a world of abundance and blessing. 7. Generosity increases the number and density of social network relational ties. 8. Generosity promotes increased learning about the world. And 9. Generosity increases givers' physical activity. In an online essay titled Generosity, Laura Hazlitt writes along the same lines. Quote, "One of the most beautiful things about true generosity is that it comes from the heart. More than what you give, it is about being giving, approaching the world and your relationships with a feeling of abundance and a readiness to give what you can to make others' lives even just a little better. Rather than passively giving up something for someone else, generosity is really about deciding to let go. It is freeing and empowering to give without feeling attached to an outcome or a need to be appreciated for it. Even better, the more you give love and generosity, the more you inspire love and generosity in others. Here lies the true strength in generosity. Not only can it make us happier and healthier as individuals, but it can be a powerful tool for positive change in our relationships, community, and society." End quote. So, given all these benefits of generosity, why wouldn't we all be generous to our church? Think of all the benefits to yourself. Think about triggering those chemicals that increase pleasure, reduce stress, and suppress pain. More to the point, think of the ways that a successful stewardship campaign will strengthen and empower this church community, our communities, plural, both large and small. We will be supporting the children's and youth religious education programs that teach our children UU principles for how to be in the world. We will be supporting the Our Whole Lives sexuality education program, and heaven knows we need that now. We will be supporting the youth group and providing fellowship and a community for our teens. We need to put money away for repairs to this building so that it can continue not only to be our sanctuary on Sunday mornings, but also to provide space during the week for the Tuesday night Body Life potluck dinner, the choir rehearsals, classes, movie screenings, presentations like last week's talk on Puerto Rico, and many other gatherings, both of Unitarian Universalists and of others from the community. The congregation will be able to give a cost of living salary increase to the staff, which is fair and the right thing to do. The congregation could once again become a fair share congregation that gives money to the Unitarian Universalist Association to support other UU communities across the country. And finally, we need to maintain and build this church as a visible and active part of this region in Indiana, which needs a liberal religious presence. We need to continue as one of the congregations that are taking actions to address climate change, holding forums, going solar, setting an example. Muncie and the surrounding area need congregations that welcome, support, and celebrate gay and transgender people. Congregations that stand in solidarity with immigrants and with our Muslim and Jewish neighbors. And of course, the UU Church is not the only congregation that does so. When Marky and I moved to Muncie 23 years ago, we didn't know that we needed the Unitarian Universalist Church of Muncie, but we really did. And I am so glad that this church was here for us and is here for us. I am committed to making sure that it's still here for all those other people who come looking for friends, looking for community, and looking for a group of people who want to work to make Muncie a better place.